I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo! All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. This is a safe space for independent thinkers for a couple of hours each day from 9 to 11 o'clock. I got to tell you, this is going to be an interesting period of American history. There's a saying, I struggle to remember it, something like, there are decades where nothing happens, and sometimes decades happen within a week. So I really butchered that. I need to figure it out. We are living through a time that will be written about a great deal. And I believe the story will start with the coronavirus. It will ignore all of the things leading up to it financially, and then it will focus on what is set to be a pretty dramatic financial term for this country. This show, for days like this and probably many days to come, maybe not be something that people necessarily want to hear. It's just what we need to hear. And I'm not a cheerleader for an economic downturn in the United States, but boy, I've watching the insanity of the last 10 or 11 years and just seeing this situation we've got right now being set up. What's happening right now in the economy, while, again, the coronavirus was the pin to prick the bubble, this was as predictable as night following day. And I'm going to make that case. Yesterday, the stock market had the second to worst day in history. It was down almost 13%. Now, what I want to make sure, and I'm going to be somewhat repetitive on this show because, you get constant new listeners, you get new people tuning in, different parts of the show. It's kind of difficult, If I could mandate everybody listens to every show like homework, I would never have to repeat myself, but you sometimes have to make these points. I want people to understand this is the popping of a bubble, what you're seeing. This is not a slowdown. This is not a temporary event. This is not just a consequence of the coronavirus. Coronavirus is going to make economic conditions in this country very bad for I don't know how long. 2 months, 4 months. Trump gave a speech yesterday, one of his best press conferences he's done since the beginning of the coronavirus crisis. But he made mention of July and August, but there's a lot yet to be seen, so we're not really sure. But this is the popping of a bubble created by the exact policies that are being recommended. Again, today we're going to take a look at some of those, what they're going to do to try to reinflate this. You cannot reblow a bubble. This is basic. You learn this when you're about, 4 or 5 years old? And you learn to blow bubblegum bubbles? Once that bubble pops, you can't reinflate that bubble. You have to start another bubble. And this is what we have done for much of modern financial history in the United States, particularly since 1971 when they took us off the gold standard and gave us the ability to just print endless money, spend endlessly. We had the dot-com bubble. We had the real estate bubble. Now we have the everything bubble. We've got a 40-year bond bubble. And all of these bubbles are simultaneously popping. It's called the everything bubble. Yesterday marked the second worst down day in the stock market in history, only beat by the 1987 Black Monday event. And I'm not sure if I can call it Black Monday anymore. I didn't see the the clip, but apparently it's racist to refer to things like, you know, the Black Plague or Black Monday. Although being in the black, if you have a corporation, if you're in the black, that's a good thing. So I guess we could still say that, although we won't be saying that about many businesses for the next few months. It's a Black Swan event. I don't know if that's racist as well. But anyway, this is the second largest. The 3 years of stock market gains under Donald Trump were lost in 3 weeks. 3 weeks. I think we're maybe, well, as of right now, I won't have the market pulled up in front of me. We were a couple of hundred points, a few hundred points off of the levels where Donald Trump got elected. 3 years up, 3 weeks down. This is what happens in a bubble. Now, I'm going to spend a little bit of time today pointing out the corruption and letting people understand what led to this. It's not going to make any difference. The politicians in Washington, D.C. are going to do what they need to do to, number one, prop up their donor class, and number two, wrap it in just enough trinkets for the ordinary American that you don't protest. There was a $700 billion TARP plan where they bought these troubled assets from the banks in 2008. American people were up in arms about it. They've already dwarfed that. The announcements coming out on this daily basis are in the trillions of dollars, and Americans are so paralyzed with fear that we're not paying any attention. Now, if they just bailed out the banks and the largest corporations, the American people would notice that. So they're going to bail out the banks and the largest corporations, but they're going to wrap it up in a nice little something. We're talking about maybe $1,000 a month for people. This is the Mitt Romney stuff. You're going to see that most Republicans are now socialists. For all of the gnashing of teeth and saying, we can't let crazy Bernie Sanders take office, that radical socialist, America doesn't want socialism. We've all spent all this time talking about Bernie Sanders. Yet when we run into what is a substantial hurdle here, our first knee-jerk reaction is, anyone, socialism. And Republicans will cheer for this. I've got stories today. Tom Cotton, that warmongering piece of human refuse that I know is very popular in Republican circles, and no, you did not just tune into some radical leftist show. I just don't like the neocon warmongers. This warmongering Republican Tom Cotton has come out and said that he didn't think that the Democrats' House plan did enough. We'll get to that in just a second, but I'm going to go ahead and hit this one first because we're going to talk about some of these bailouts and what the consequences of some of them are, because people need to understand this stuff. Look, I'm on a pointless journey here. Am I going to change something? No, absolutely not. The people that are in favor of what's being proposed right now are going to drag me and my children down the tubes right with them. Not a whole lot I can do. But they're not going to get to treat me like an idiot. They're not going to trick me. I'm going to understand what they're doing, at least. I'm not going to be the fool who is blindsided by the end game in this system. I've talked about a few weeks ago that the bailouts were coming for industries. And as I say, they're going to wrap up. They're going to give the people a few bailouts, $1,000 here or there. They're going to give the corporations the equivalent of about $3,000 for every man, woman, and child in the country. But they'll give you $1,000 to keep you to sit down and shut up while they bail out the donor class that created this. Now, here's the one I want to hit. And this will be kind of the tone of the show. I want you to think about this for a second. $50 billion for the airlines. Now, many people tuning into this, too, might think, what is this cold-hearted guy? There are people out there really hurting. I understand that. But listen to this. I want you to see how the game is run here. They're floating out $50 billion to the airlines. And why is that? Because the airlines are now suddenly in trouble, right? Nobody's flying. And my heart breaks for them. My dad spent 35 years with Delta. I'm a big Delta Airlines fan, although I haven't been able to afford to fly them in quite some time. I fly some of the smaller carriers, but I'm an airlines guy. I'm a travel guy. But the airlines are going to come. The government is going to confiscate, against your will, $50 billion from the American people and give it to the airlines. Well, Mike, the airlines are hurting. Have you not seen what's going on? They need to do this. Do you know what the airlines have been doing for the past several years while they've been making money? The biggest U.S. airlines, this is from Bloomberg, the biggest U.S. airlines spent 96% of free cash flow last decade on buying back their own shares. American Airlines Group, which is not shown in the chart, but is led the pack with negative cumulative free cash flow during the decade, while repurchased more than $12.5 billion worth of their own stock shares. United Airlines Holdings used 80% of its free cash flow on stock buybacks, while the S&P index as a whole allocated about 50% for that purpose. The airlines have been taking any of the profits that they have, plus borrowed money, which has left them in a vulnerable position layered with debt, because our government and our Federal Reserve convinced them to go out and borrow as much as they could. They've taken all the cash that they could have set aside for maybe a downturn in travel, and they used it to buy back their own stock, which created the stock bubble in the first place and enriched the CEOs and the executives at these airlines along the way, because their compensation is largely tied to stock performance. See, this is capitalism for them on the way up. It's socialism for them on the way down. They took in the profits on the way up, the executives, the airlines, and the shareholders. And look, if you owned airline stocks and you did well over the years, God love you. But now you expect the American people to bail you out when the stock price goes down, because you dropped the ball. You weren't paying attention. You weren't tapping. As a shareholder in United Airlines, you weren't tapping on the CEO's door and saying, do you think maybe you should set aside a little cash just in case, I don't know, things don't go perfectly? The biggest U.S. airline spent 96% of free cash flow last decade on buying back their own shares. And now that they run into trouble, they're going to ask the American people to bail them out, and you will. You will because you're powerless. You will because you don't understand what I just told you. Well, now maybe you do, but the vast majority of Americans have no idea that that's where all the airline cash went. And now they find themselves a little short. Well, don't worry. Don't worry, airlines. You own yourself a bunch of Congress critters. They'll deliver for you. It's a sickening system, and this stuff is so easy to see coming. I've been talking about it as long as I've been on the air here. And many of the people who have watched this scam going on, particularly since the 2008 crisis, when we realized that you don't reward corporations, banks, you don't reward the elites and bail them out when their risks go against them at the detriment of the U.S. taxpayer. Because all that does, when you bail them out, I said, what do? If you've got a kid, keeps misbehaving, you keep bailing them out of situation after situation, do you think that makes them more or less likely to undertake the next offense? If they think they're always going to be bailed out, what is their tolerance for taking risk? It's pretty high, isn't it? Because they know. They know, as long as they own the Congress, that they can pluck the profits on the way up, and if anything goes wrong, that they've got that safety net underneath them of the bought and paid for politicians. The problem is those politicians are playing with your money. I'm going to go through some more of these things in these bailout plans. Again, I don't know. Maybe people don't want to hear this. Maybe you just want to be able to be a socialist without anybody calling you out on it. It kind of feels to me we live in a climate in the ascendancy of Bernie Sanders where we're supposed to call out the socialist and tell you where the problems are with their plans. All the Republicans just hate Bernie Sanders, and I'm right with you. I can't stand Bernie Sanders. But socialism with an R behind it, Republican socialism, is no better than Bernie Sanders socialism. I'll be right back.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
All right, we're back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I do want to take some calls. Look, I get a lot of stuff to cover. I come in here with a lot of stuff that I research, and I will admit sometimes people call, and I just don't take the call because I want to get, I want to finish this stuff. It's pieces that I'm trying to help people tie together. This is a tough show to do, really. I don't want to be the guy who says we're all going to die, that this is the end. But I'm telling you, this financial crisis, it was so obvious to anybody paying attention. And the lies that come out of CNBC and the Trump administration and Trump himself, I'm sorry, I don't want to say it. Maybe Trump's not lying when he said it's the greatest economy ever. Maybe he believes that. That to me, that's almost scarier because I want my guy to understand. I want my guy to understand that an economy built on record levels of debt is not the best you can do. I want my guy in the White House to understand that 0% and negative interest rates are not the sign of a prosperous economy. So I'm hoping that Donald Trump was lying when he came out and told. Now, I understand he's a politician. He needs to tell you everything's great. But how many people did he suck into this stock market with tweets about how great the market is and you got to get in and enjoy your savings? The entire Trump presidency of stock market games was wiped out in the last 3 weeks. 3 weeks. This thing is not over. Now, I've studied a lot of charts and looked at them from 08 and 1929 and 2000. Stocks don't fall in a straight line. This has been the straightest of all lines, I will say that. This is the most rapid fall, and the reason is not because just of the coronavirus, but because the bubble was bigger than ever. And the bubble is across all kinds of different assets this time. It's not a single bubble. It's not just a real estate bubble. It's not just a dot-com bubble. It's an everything bubble. It's bonds. It's stocks. And so I don't want to come on here and just, you know, because I think that that would be, I don't know. I want a name and shame. I want a name and shame so that your anger can be directed in the right place this time. For you Occupy Wall Street times, you're going to have your time again because you're about to see massive bailouts of big corporations. But the problem is, don't take to the streets and ask for more government help. Occupy Wall Street was dead on the bailouts and the fact that the banks had their way with us in 2008, but their prescription was to go and get the government to help us with it. Regulate more. Have you not noticed that the government was hand in hand with these big banks getting the money? Did you not notice that Barack Obama, your liberal, loving savior, didn't prosecute a single banker for anything that they did? And so I'm going to spend my time naming and shaming all the different people that are lying to you. I've got a clip here. Let's go ahead and play this one. Because this one really, I got to tell you, this one chaps me. This was Steven Mnuchin, the former Goldman Sachs banker, who is your current Treasury Secretary, telling the American people, oh, there's no chance of a recession.
Of course, somebody you know well, the president's former top economic advisor, said that he feels we are now in a recession.
Now, he's talking about Gary Cohn. I want to back that up because I want to make sure Gary Cohn's name gets in there because I want to make sure that you understand that the first national economic advisor to Donald Trump was also from anyone? Anyone? Goldman Sachs.
Gary Cohn, of course, somebody you know well, the president's former top economic advisor, said that he feels we are now in a recession. Is he right?
I don't think so. But I think the real issue is not the economic situation today. The real issue is what economic tools are we going to use to make sure we get through this? Because this is a unique...
I love the euphemisms. Economic tools. You don't have any tools. Well, you got one. I guess you could consider it a tool. It's a printing press. What economic tools do they have? That sounds so benign, doesn't it? Like they're just sitting back waiting to see, oh, there's a crisis here. We've got a wrench for this and a screwdriver for that. We'll be fine. They've been using these tools out for the last 11 years behind the scenes and calling it the greatest economy the world has ever seen. Steven Mnuchin has been lying to you since he stepped foot in the office. And he knows Now, I said earlier, I'm not sure if Donald Trump honestly thought this was the greatest economy we've ever had. And look, I understand a lot of people out there going, Mike, if it wasn't for coronavirus, we'd still be sailing. Look, no. Maybe it's still going right now, but the bubble, it was a bubble. And the funniest thing is, it's like I'm telling you what candidate Trump's told you, but President Trump flipped 180 degrees on that. He told you it was a big, fat, ugly bubble, and it just got bigger, fatter, and uglier. Yet it was somehow, it was prosperity when he was president. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of listening to these politicians and policymakers mislead the American people because you are lambs to the slaughter. Larry Kudlow out there. These people are chronically wrong. But are they really? Are they stupid? Is Steven Mnuchin stupid? I wonder what Steven Mnuchin's portfolio looks like today. Have you seen the guy's wife? Name is something like Louise Litton or something like that. She is this blonde bombshell. Now, she's a little plasticky. A friend of mine last night said he didn't think she was really attractive because she's kind of plasticky, but she's pretty good looking. Steven Mnuchin is not. I'm just saying. Maybe he's just a hell of a guy. Maybe he's just a great listener. Or maybe he's just massively filthy rich. He's not stupid. I'd love to know what his portfolio looks like. I wonder if when he saw this coronavirus, when little old Mike Madison was sitting in Flora, Mississippi, and was smart enough to look at China shutting down 700 million people and coming on this radio and saying, this is going to be a huge financial event. If my dumb self could figure it out. I wonder if Steve Mnuchin looked at this thing and went, "Ooh, I need to move my portfolio on the other side of this ledger." Now, he's been short this market because Steve Mnuchin's not dumb, but he's got to bring you in. See, for everything he might want to sell, he needs a buyer. That's you. You need to step in and buy. You need to step in and grab this falling knife. And Steven Mnuchin is telling you, no, there's no recession. So what he's telling you is, and this is a guy, as I say, he's not dumb. Former Goldman Sachs banker. They understand markets. What he's telling you is that, oh, no, we're not going into a recession. We've had the longest bull market run in the United States, I believe. I believe it surpassed. It was 11 years of a bull market. That is not normal. Usually there is a 20% correction at some point during those things. Some little dip into recession, even if it's mild. It was the longest bull run in the stock market history. It was the longest period without a recession in U.S. history, I believe, at least in modern history. But Steven Mnuchin wants you to know, oh, no, this little coronavirus thing, that's not going to derail what was already long in the tooth. This is on ABC this week. This is Steven Mnuchin making you a lamb to the slaughter. How many people went in and said, oh, this is a great time to buy after that first 5% dip based on media appearances by Trump and Mnuchin and what's his name? Kudlow, the geniuses on CNBC. How many people is just that they need you to keep buying in? They need that fresh. They need you to ride this thing down. They're trying to get out. They need somebody to come in and help them get out by buying them out. So I'm going to name and shame on the show. It's going to not be nice for some people because this administration has just built a house of cards because they built it on top of Obama's house of cards. Obama didn't do anything. Nothing was fixed in 2008. I can't stress this enough. They kicked the can down the road. Well, we are back to the can. And this can is huge. Just imagine kicking a cannon down the road, and every time you kick it, it gets a little bit bigger. I think that's about as visual an illustration as I can. We've been kicking this can down the road since the 1940s, funding of World War II, really since the Federal Reserve came into office in the Great Depression, and they, started all the social programs. And every time they kick that can, it gets just a little bit bigger. Well, right now, that thing is just looming over us. And if we try to kick it this time, I'm afraid it's going to rock back on us and roll over us and kill us. And these calmer heads, look, it's not I don't know. I was about to say it's not time to panic. Health-wise, I'm not talking about the virus right now. You understand that? This too shall pass. Not going to be pretty. Be safe. Be smart, particularly if you're older. I'm talking about the economics of this. What they are going to do right now, and I'm going to get into some of these bailout plans they've got, because the Republicans are full-on socialists right now. Full-on socialists. Now, again, I say, if you're going to have the socialism, then we should have at least been able to participate in the massive profits for the biggest corporations who were benefiting from the this socialism, this money printing, for the last 11 years. We should have gotten a little taste, right? I mean, if we get the bill for it when it goes wrong, shouldn't we get a taste on the way up? Oh, well, they've been giving us jobs. Look, I'm a free market guy. You're not, don't think. This is kind of, I don't want to call it nuanced or anything like that. It's just everybody thinks that the world is so black and white. You have to understand that I'm a free market guy. But see, a free market guy wants to see corporations and small businesses and everybody making money by providing a good or a service that has some value. But when the big corporations really aren't making money, I told you, go to my Facebook page, The Mike Madison Show. It's on Facebook. And look at the chart I posted. It shows you corporate profits. Corporate profits have been flat. They haven't been providing goods and services to people and making a bunch of money. What they've been doing is taking cheap money from the Fed and buying back their own stocks to juice their own stock options and bonuses. Corporate profits have been flat since 2010. That does not make the greatest economy in the history of the world. See, these things are just facts. Can we even discuss them? All right, I'm going to move on. I'm going to get on it. When I come back, we're going to get into some of this bailout stuff. And I'd like to know from you, you know, what you think. Trump yesterday did probably his best press conference I've seen since this crisis hit. I'm very curious to know from the Trump supporters and Trump dismissed this thing at the very beginning. Look, I do kind of criticize him for that. I think he could have taken a more cautious, and I don't blame him for wanting it to just go away. Just to say, you know, cross your fingers and hunch your shoulders, close your eyes and hope it passes us by. I don't blame him. I mean, he's in an election year. He doesn't want to see the economy go south. He knew that this could be a possibility. But Trump's taking it very seriously now. And yesterday, his press conference, he even got a lot of praise from the left-wing media. From people that I know who don't like Trump even said he did a good job yesterday. And I agree, he did. He did a good job yesterday in the press conference. But does this mean now that Trump supporters now take this thing more seriously? Or do you still think it's a bunch of hooey? I'm kind of curious to know about that. And then we'll talk about, you know, the bailouts and stuff. Are you in favor? Do you believe that the economy is at such a precarious point right now? They need to, air quotes here in the studio, do something, because they're going to do it. They're going to do it all over you. They're talking about giving everybody a check. I've got an idea. I think they should hire people to actually go around to people's houses and put these checks there. Number one, you create a bunch of jobs that way, right? Rather than just sending them out in the mail or doing an electronic thing, you hire a bunch of people to actually hand deliver the checks. This creates jobs. This would be another level of fake prosperity. That these people would come and they'd come to your house and they would come in before you wake up and they would leave the money on your nightstand. Anybody getting my reference? Because of what they're doing to us on a daily basis, it feels like they should pay us that way. From the world's oldest profession, where you leave the money on the nightstand before you go. I'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he's the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much.
All right, we're back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. You want to join the show today, 601-879-0002. I am on my name and shame tour. It's probably going to last for several weeks. You know, there is something to be said. You know, people don't want to hear the truth. We haven't for maybe decades. I don't know. It really feels pretty intense over the last, 3 to 5 years. Nobody wants to hear the truth. They want to hear their political party propped up. Whatever talking point suits your current beliefs is all you accept. But let me tell you, Donald Trump told you that this was the greatest economy the world has ever seen, echoed by Larry Kudlow and people on CNBC, because their vested interest is the stock market going up and the appearance of real prosperity. I understand their motives, and it's why I give them the due credibility, informed by the idea that I understand their motives. I don't blame Donald Trump for trying to paint the economy great. He's in an election year. He wants people to like him. And he's done some good things, things he could legitimately claim credit for. Unfortunately, he exaggerates it. But if you really know what's going on, here's why it's important to understand the truth and deal in facts and stuff. I've got a friend for about 45 years. I was talking to him yesterday. You know, he makes his investment because he could see the truth of this market. He saw the vulnerability. He knows that this is not just some little correction. He doesn't believe Treasury Secretary Mnuchin that says, no, there's no chance of recession. And so he buys himself a nice little mutual fund that shorts the market. Do you know what his return was yesterday? See, this is where the value of learning and accepting facts and truth are rather than propaganda. He made 48% in one of his mutual funds yesterday. Yesterday. While everybody else was taking a prison pounding on Wall Street, he made 48% in one of his funds. One of his other funds, 33%, another fund, 24%. Yesterday, during the course of the day, yesterday, his average return was around 33%. See, there are some upsides to understanding and dealing with reality rather than political fantasy. Got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
Yeah. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, good, thanks. I actually called you last week when I was driving through.
Oh, yeah. How are you?
And good, thanks. And so I was very interested for yesterday's podcast. So sorry if this is a little off topic from today, but I just wanted to backtrack to yesterday for three things.
Yeah.
First, I wanted to just thank you for your good message around personal well-being and meditation, and that other idea that nobody in the world likes chaos, and that at the end of the day, we all bleed, we're all born, bleed and die. And it doesn't matter what part of the world you are. You're just looking for some basic, stability in your life.
Yeah. Human beings beings.
I really thought those were good messages, in a time when we are finally feeling some pain, when we've felt really nothing but prosperity over the past few years,
right,
the past few decades. But I did have two things. One, I'm trying to understand this idea of zero or even potentially negative interest rate that just, I don't know how an interest rate could go negative. And I definitely would like to know, I don't know how familiar you are, but it's not showing up in mortgage rates yet. So they say, hey, this should mean that you should be able to get lending for less. But we're actually seeing that's not true. Just like you were talking about, like the price of gas yesterday, that's not showing up at the pump. It's like, I don't know when it's going to like finally show up. And can you just touch on like what is a negative interest rate?
Well, I'll tell you. Yeah, I'll tell you one thing. I had to get some gasoline. I paid more. I got to use premium gas. Premium gas where I went today was up. It was up like, it was almost $3. Anyway, negative interest rates are bizarro world. I am under the impression that almost nobody understands how you get away with that. Now, there's all kinds of things that would take forever to hash through, and sometimes I have to say things out loud. And I don't know if you've ever had a subject. I read a lot about like quantum physics and things like that. I find it fascinating, and sometimes when I'm reading it, I can understand it. And then when I take 5 minutes away from whatever I was reading, I lose it again. It's so incomprehensible. People like pension plans, insurance companies, people have to buy bonds. And so what happens is the whole world has these horrible interest rates. So in chasing and having to buy these bonds, sometimes as a bond price goes up, the yield goes down. And the yield is what we're talking about in negative rates. So sometimes people are forced to buy these bonds for some safety for a part of their portfolio. And it makes the price of the bond go up because a lot of people are buying it. It ends up driving the yield negative. My question is, though, common sense says, why the hell wouldn't you just put money in your mattress before you bought anything where you were guaranteed to get less? But it is truly strange. I mean, even Trump has come out and said, we should have negative interest rates. And he says, I don't know who the hell's buying these things. And he's right. But it's one of these things that they've been buying them. They've had them. Now, when it comes to mortgage rates, you're never going to get a negative interest rate mortgage unless it's some social program, essentially. The banks, if they were even able to borrow at negative interest rates, essentially get paid for it, they still need the spread. You know, I mean, the 30-year mortgage rates are based kind of on the 10-year bond yield. That's kind of how they move. So the yield on the 10-year bond goes down, mortgage rates typically come down. But the banks in loaning money still have to make some money. So there's always a spread. So if we went even into negative 1%, which I don't know is possible, and believe me, it's just bizarro world. It makes no sense whatsoever logically. It's just that it's happening. So you just say, well, I guess it's possible. But mortgages should come down. But there is a ceiling on mortgages, or I guess a floor on mortgages, I think, to keep that spread for the banks. And I don't think they're going to violate that. People are not going to get negative interest rates on mortgages unless it is a government mandated type thing and essentially some kind of a stimulus that we will pay a heavy price for down the road.
Gotcha. That helps, man. I appreciate it. So last thing before I go, so I'm from Mississippi. I live in Nashville now. I was thinking about your analogy of like you would rather have no government, but at the very least, local government is better than big government because of the idea that you might run into these people at the grocery store, right? There's a connection of I'm giving you taxpayer dollars that you're spending, and there's a little bit more accountability at a local level than a federal level.
There should be. There should be.
I think about business the same way in the sense that shareholders are so far removed that if you had a single business owner, like if you were an entrepreneur, there is more accountability. And so what I specifically think about is like they're Cloven, you know, tourism's a big piece here. They've got businesses and quite frankly, country music stars that have their names blazed across the front of these bars downtown. And they've traditionally made hand over fist. I'm going to be really shocked and disappointed if they don't show up with a little bit more accountability to take care of folks as they close Lower Broadway or are in the midst of, you know, shutting it down. But their employees, like you would think that it would just drive a little bit more connection. And yeah. I it's upsetting because like right now you don't see them stepping up. And I'm trying not to get too cynical in the sense that there's no tax relief, right? So that they're happy to donate to charity and disasters when the tornado comes through, because I get a write-off, but I don't get any tax benefit for just paying employees.
Well, they're gonna change that very quickly. I think right now business owners are somewhat shell-shocked, particularly in hospitality and service sectors. This has never happened before. This is so much worse than 9/11. This is a grinding to a halt of the greatest economy on the planet and the entire world's economy. So I think, you know, give those people a little bit of space, and we're going to see how it plays out.
Yeah.
The government's going to step in here in a big way. It's going to be unsuccessful. It's going to be wildly expensive. And if we let them get away with it, it's going to be nation wrecking. Anyway, hey, I got to run to a break, but I really appreciate
I appreciate you.
Yeah. Thanks for getting the podcast.
Keep it up.
All right. Appreciate it. Bye-bye. All right. Got to take a quick break. I'll be right back. Stay with me.
Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
All right, we've just got a couple of minutes left in this segment. I want to say this real quick. Look, I'm going to sound kind of heartless on some of this stuff when I oppose all these bailouts. I know people are hurting. Look, there have been times I've had massive failures in my life. I've had successes and failures. Most recently, probably the biggest thing, I had a very good success with the business, sold it to start something else, fell flat on my face. Basically just burned all of the money that I made on the first sale. On the second thing, I start over again. If somebody had come up to me and said, look, I'm going to make you whole, you know what I would have said? Thank you. You know, I mean, I am not heartless. I've been working for myself, some level of an entrepreneur or a business owner or a contract employee for most all of my professional life. I know the struggles. I did a lot of time in the restaurant business. I know these people in the restaurant business very, very well. I lived in it for 14 years. I love people in the restaurants. I've done shows on it, on tipping. And what the people in the service industry go through. Long before the coronavirus came, I did almost a whole show on telling you why to tip and how hard it is to work there. I have a big heart for anybody that is hurting in our society. The problem is, this doesn't work. It doesn't work. I mean, you know, if you want to send everybody $10,000, that's fantastic. Go ahead and do it. The purchasing power of that $10,000 is going to evaporate before your eyes, and then everything on the other side of the $10,000 check is going to be so wildly expensive that it is going to crush us as a country. And we've got to be personally resilient, a free market capitalist system, but we haven't had real capitalism in a long time. We got cronyism. That's why the airlines, you know, if the airlines came to President Mike Madison and said, hey, we need a bailout, I'd say, well, what the hell were you doing all that money these past few years? And they would have said, oh, we were buying back our own stocks to juice our stock options, to get our stock price high, make sure that we received our bonuses. I would have said, well, there you go. There's your problem. That airline over there, they've been saving their cash for a rainy day. I bet you they're going to buy you out for a song. See, we keep rewarding this bad behavior on Wall Street and with the mega corporations, and then they come with their hand out when things get bad. And Americans are so scared, and this time it's going to be especially bad. They're going to bail out the big corporations and the bank, but they're going to wrap it in trinkets for the people to distract you.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Our phone number here is 601-879-0002. I'm doing some pretty heavy-duty bashing of the bailouts. Look, I am your Nostradamus for radio. Now, Nostradamus needed a lot of lead time on some of his predictions, didn't he? Didn't he do some? I don't even know when the guy lived. Did these kind of cryptic things. I think some of them you could kind of evaluate. He hedged a lot. I'll put it that way. Made everything kind of fuzzy enough to where it's open to interpretation. I've been talking. Ask anybody that's been around me, even before I started this radio show 3 years ago, and I said, this economy is nuts. It is crazy. All this free money sloshing around. We are developing. Our people in positions of power are creating the perfect storm. This thing is going to end very, very badly. But I've been saying it for 3 or 4 years, 5 years maybe. So don't listen to me on timing. But as far as Nostradamus, just a few weeks ago, I did a podcast, and I think the title of it, you can go find it. Podcasts are, you can go to WYAB.com and scroll down, find my page. It'll take you to my Podbean page, which is themikemadisonshow.podbean.com, or you can subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Mike Madison Show. But I did an episode called We're All Socialists Now, and I kind of made fun of everybody on the right. I called you comrade. And I know there are people who will disagree with me probably on these bailout things because you believe Congress can count on one thing, and that is the American people at times of any strife, any uncomfortableness, screaming for them to do something. They've tricked us into thinking that when they act, things get better. Got a lot of Republicans out there that have been saying for the last 3 years when Trump's been up there, I wish they'd stop all this partisan witch hunt against Donald Trump and get to the business of the American people. And I point out constantly, you really don't want that. One of the biggest favors Trump's done for us is he's taken the Democrats out of the game as far as doing stuff. The less they do, the better. But I understand I can sound heartless when you're talking about bailouts. And I love small business owners. I love entrepreneurs. I love people in the service sector who go out there and work hard for us. I want to see them all fine. But look, this just doesn't work. And it's going to bankrupt the country. So bail them out today, go bankrupt tomorrow. I mean, that's essentially where we are. And it's unfortunate. But we've abdicated so much. I'm looking at Chuck Schumer's plan. $750 billion, it's just the beginning. We were up in arms about the $600, $700 billion TARP back in 2008. These things are going to come out probably once a week for the next several weeks and ongoing. $600 billion there, $750 billion here. The Republicans want $850 billion coming out of the Senate. The Federal Reserve just announced $500 billion to buy stocks. Another $1 trillion going into the repo market. You know, I'm going to revise. I say I'm some Nostradamus. I have to revise my predictions. I had done a show several weeks ago where I said, look, this is going to be the first year where you see U.S. debt grow by $2, $3, $4 trillion. I'm revising that estimate. This will be the first year the U.S. crosses at a minimum $5 trillion of new debt. And you have to understand why. Because not only is spending going through the roof, I mean, they didn't save any money for this $850 billion bailout plan, and it's not going to work. It's not going to solve anything. It's going to get worse, so they're going to have to do more. So they don't have any money. This is almost $1 trillion that they're talking about right now within the first few weeks of this crisis. While tax revenues are going to go through the floor, you understand? So the money coming into government is going to shrink substantially. The money coming out of government is going to increase substantially. You understand how that gap is working? We started out the year with an assumption of a $1.5 trillion new debt this year. That was back in the, air quotes here in the studio, all together with me, greatest economy the world has ever seen. We were still already anticipating $1.5 trillion deficits. Now we're at the cusp of a complete economic wipeout. What do you think that's going to do? Federal spending's not going to go down. I mean, every day they're coming up with hundreds of billions of dollars more. So I'm going to say $5+ trillion in debt, new debt, by the time this thing is over, by the time 2020 is over. And that will not include what the Federal Reserve puts on its balance sheet. I won't bore you with more Federal Reserve talk, but they're going to be printing up money and buying bonds, from buying corporate bonds and buying high-yield bonds and buying mortgage-backed securities. They're going to be buying everything with hand over fist, with printed up phony money that nobody really has. And their balance sheet will grow by the trillions of dollars this year, too. Currently, they're at about $4 trillion. They told us after the financial crisis they were going to take it up to $4 trillion, and then they'd take it right back down to like $500 billion. They never made it past like $3.8 trillion. It never got below $3.5 trillion. I'd like to say they don't know what the hell they're doing, and some of them don't. There were so many people when the Fed announced some of their policies and the government announced their policies back in 2008, there were people who were dead right today. They said, this is not going to work. It's not going to work. I am joining that chorus today and telling you, I don't want to see anybody suffer in this. And so what that is a call for is communities and families and friends to come together as human beings. And if you see somebody hurting, help them out. I love this idea people are having about doing restaurant gift cards. Because if you can't go to a restaurant, if restaurant traffic is down, but you know we're going to come out of this in some period of time, and you've got a gift card, this does several things for restaurants. Number one, it gives them cash today, and they don't even have to spend the labor and the food costs to provide the service. And you have a non-perishable gift card. I recommend if you do this with, you know, your locally owned businesses first. Although there are, you know, local citizens that are working for the chains, the big chains and stuff. I don't want to see them hurt either. But to keep money in our economy, money spent with locally owned businesses circulates through your local community at such a higher rate than big corporate chains. Walmart, to me, is like a vacuum cleaner sucking money out of the community. It provides some jobs, no doubt, and it gives you some cheap stuff. There's a benefit to that. I'm a libertarian. I mean, you know. But it, in the long run, a lot of the money that's leaving our states and leaving our communities is because we've got these megacorps now. Amazon, same way. Hell, at least Walmart's got some local employees. Every dollar spent with Amazon is just, bye-bye. It's just gone. Unfortunately, that's the world we live in. I use Amazon. I'm not saying that it's a danger, but that's where we are. But we're going to have just absolutely incredible debts. I was looking at a Chuck Schumer's plan, and again, I'm going to tell you, this is what's so amazing to me, and when I come on basically right-wing radio here, I wish everybody would listen to this because I'd love the left to wake up too. They seem a little bit of a lost cause. I was talking to a friend of mine. Talking to a friend of mine texting last night, we were talking about the crisis. She was saying, yeah, all these people hoarding toilet paper, kind of laughing about that. I said, look, in a society where people get triggered and need a safe space because of microaggressions, I don't know, doesn't feel like we're really prepared for any real any real tragedy, any real obstacles in our life. If you got to go search for a microaggression and retreat to a safe space, you might not be cut out for real hardship. And that's where it feels like a lot of us are. Unfortunately, it's on the right and the left. People on the right and the left are going to want these plans. But again, I got Chuck Schumer's plan in front of me, only to be outdone by Tom Cotton's. I got a question for Tom Cotton. Let's get into one of Tom Cotton's things here. I've got it in front of me here. Senator Cotton has been in touch with many of your bosses on this front. He believes the Senate should adopt its own plan for economic assistance designed with three key elements in mind. One, tax rebates to move cash to Americans swiftly. Expanded, loosened, that's basically checks. Expanded, loosened criteria and funding to allow established state-administered welfare programs like unemployment insurance and TAMF, that's the nutrition and food program, to surge assistance to Americans in need during the current crisis. And three, significantly expanded low-interest loans to businesses. So Tom Cotton's ready to jump in. Hey, Tom, you warmonger. How much money do you think we might have sloshing around if you weren't chomping at the bit to invade every country in the Middle East that doesn't do exactly what we say, or you just don't like their government? Hey, Tom, You know, you've drained the U.S. Treasury of trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars in your endless empire-building needless wars. Wouldn't it be nice to have some of that cash sitting around here now? Or even better, maybe still in the taxpayers' pockets? So I'll go ahead and make this point now. Here's what's really aggravating to me. The federal government gets to come in like the savior. I don't know how you get these jobs. Well, I do. You have to go out, shake a lot of hands, and lie to a lot of people, and then you get this really, really enviable position. Here's what politicians do. They steal money from millions and millions of people, and then they give it away and pat themselves on the back for their generosity. What a great gig. I wish I could go to my neighborhood. I wish I could go to my neighborhood and just tell everybody in my neighborhood, hey, I'm taking 20% of what you earn. There's not a damn thing you can do about it. And then I get to go to the media and donate some of that money out to worthwhile causes. I could be man of the year because of this great largesse I have for giving away all this money. Animal shelters, abused women's shelters. I'd be the toast of the town. All I have to do is first steal 20% of all my neighbor's money. That's what Congress does. Do you even realize? Okay, so we're going to look at all of these people. I mean, it's widely reported, even in the air quotes here in the studio, greatest economy the world has ever seen, that 60% of Americans don't have $400 for an emergency. Strange how that works, but that's the case. We're at record credit card levels, record student loan levels, record auto levels, record corporate debt. I'll stop. It's all records. When it comes to debt, it's all records. What would happen if the federal government left us the bleep alone and let us keep all of the money we earned? You think that server who's being laid off right now because there's no shifts for them, you think they might be able to put together an emergency fund? If the government wasn't watching every dollar of tip that came across that table, you make sure you report those tips. The federal government steals 30% of your money every year. You think it'd be easier to build an emergency fund for tough times like that if you had an extra, I don't know, a 30% raise every year? Now, some people wouldn't. Some people wouldn't, would they? Some people don't have any sense with money and they would just waste every nickel of it. I've been guilty of it. But if every American had 30% raise because the government got out of our lives, then we could weather this storm ourselves. And even for those among us who might still have just spent and bought motorcycles and new TVs and taken big vacations with that extra 30%, well, they might go down. And if they had one crisis where those people went down, you talk to somebody who lived through the Great Depression. You know what it did? It informed the rest of their lives. Most of the people that lived through the Depression had a real appreciation for some level of savings because they'd seen the hard times. Do you see what I'm saying to you? The government steals 30% of your income every single year, and then you have to go to them and beg them to give you something when the tide turns against us. Is this America? Is that what we are? We're just children? We're just wards of the state, being flipped over and having every nickels shaken out of our pockets. I told you, IRS is sending new agents out to knock on doors of people who make over $100,000 to remind them to pay their taxes on time. This is America. They might as well be wearing a KGB pin when they do that, as far as I'm concerned. But you let the government steal. This is why the Second Amendment stuff kind of cracks me up, because I believe at some point they're going to confiscate guns, and I don't think anybody's going to do anything about it. You say you are. And I'm with you. We say, oh, there's no way they're going to touch our guns. But we lay around and let them take 30% of our money. And they fail with everything they do. The Department of Education, fail. EPA, fail. Foreign policy, fail. Endless wars, fail. I mean, they fail doing everything, but they still convince you to keep handing over 30% of your money. How much better suited would Americans be for a 2 or 3 month economic downturn if for the last 20 years we all had a 30% raise and able to keep our own money, invest our own money? How much better off would people be? How about you senior citizens out there? or anybody that's got a savings account or invests in CDs, how much better off would you be today if you had been earning 5 or 6% on your savings for the last 11 years rather than 0.5% or 1% for the last 11 years? So the government screws even the savers, the people that do it right. They screw you over. And then when times get tough, we got to go beg them. You got to help us. Please do something. Do you not notice they stole 30% of your money every single year you've been alive? What kind of wealth would you have if that was not the case? Now, look, I'm little Mike Madison out in Flora, Mississippi. Who gives a crap what I say? But, boy, I wish there was a voice saying that in every city, because maybe the American people would wake up and go, wait a second, we don't need bailouts. We need our own money. We need to be able to save in places that might pay us a decent rate of return because the Fed's not manipulating interest rates. We need that extra 30% you strip from us to put into failing programs and then pat yourself on the back for handing it out like you're doing us a favor. You steal 30% of our money, and then you're going to send us a check for $1,000 for 2 or 3 months, and that's doing us a favor? You steal $9,000 from the average taxpayer every single year, but you're going to ship out $3,000 in checks, and we're supposed to applaud you for that? That's you doing something? I don't know. I went to public school, but my math says just for this year alone, I'm still $6,000 underwater. You take $9,000, you give back $3,000, and I'm supposed to be happy with that? God, what happened to us as a country? I'm looking at all these proposals. Tom Cotton's attacking Nancy Pelosi from the left, and he's a darling of the Republican Party. People especially like his warmongering. Tom Cotton has wasted the treasury, the treasure of this country, on endless, needless wars, but he's a darling of the right. Because most Republicans don't really know what conservatism is anyway. Let's be honest. The vast majority of Republicans are socialists. They're just not as radical lefty socialists. I guess we should just start. There's got to be some new designation for these things. Hey, you get your righty socialist and your lefty socialist. Those lefty socialists are really radical. Us socialists on the right, we're much more normal. I mean, somebody want to explain to me where I'm wrong? I don't know. I'm going to keep going through these things because they've got some other proposals in these things like no evictions, no foreclosures. Look, I got a big heart. I don't want to see anybody evicted or anybody foreclosed on because of this virus. Again, they wouldn't be in that situation if they hadn't been stripped of all their potential for savings by the federal government that's been stealing 30% of their income their entire lives. But I don't want to see them foreclosed on or anything. But what do you think is going to happen to landlords? To the banks when people just say, oh, you can't kick me out? How many people do you think are going to pay that mortgage? Those people that are kind of on the line where they can pay the mortgage, but it makes things really, really tight. You think they're going to pay their mortgage? You think they're going to pay their rent? So what are we going to do? We're going to end up bailing out the landlords, bailing out the banks that aren't getting mortgage payments down the road. It's like a balloon, people. When you squeeze on one side of it, the air just goes somewhere else. All of these prescriptions they have consequences. All of them. Most of them towards the bankruptcy of the United States and the destruction of the U.S. dollar. But some of them are more simple, like I just pointed out. How many landlords are sitting around with their butts puckered right now thinking, oh, please, dear God, don't do something about no evictions. Please, dear God, don't do anything. And then the government says, we're such great people. We say no evictions. And the landlords just go, oh, crap. Now the landlords go down. So what are you going to need in a couple of months? Landlord bailout. Congress is going to have to steal more money from the American people to give landlords a bailout caused by our first action, which was to tell people you can't be evicted. And look, I know it sounds heartless. I don't want anybody evicted. That's when friends and family step up. And it's when that 30% that the government's been stealing from those people who have to pay rent would come in handy. They might actually have some savings around. I got to take a break. I'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com. All right, this is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. When I come back in just a second, you want to call in 601-879-0002. Went a little long. I'm on a rant. Boy, I mean, I got to stop. I'm going to put a little speed bump in my way here, talk about something a little different for just a couple of minutes, take a break, and I'll come back. I was about to start using some words the FCC would frown upon. I have tremendous sympathy for people that are out there going to be struggling right now, and one of those is going to be the restaurant business, and one of our favorites is Your Pie here. They had their Your Pie event on Saturday. Through no fault of their own, wasn't great timing, but still, fantastic food. They clean this place. They are open for operation, and they are running this Your Pie Pie Day promotion throughout the rest of this week. This is a tremendous value for people. And for you young, healthy people, we know you're going to work. We're going about our lives. Don't let them scare us off of everything. So Your Pie is offering these 10-inch brick oven-fired pizzas for $3.14. You got to go there to get them. That's one thing you can't get them. I don't think you can get them delivered now. But it's a great place. Talk to the owner. All of them are under a ton of pressure to make sure their places are spotless and clean and all that good stuff. Look, you're not safe filling up with gas if you're going to worry about picking up a germ. My thing is, get your immune system strong. You don't have to worry about it. I'll go in there and sleep at Your Pie tonight. Well, they clean the place up, and they're open for business. It's a veteran-owned business, and they've just been knocking the cover off the ball. And this thing is going to rattle their cage a little bit. We need to support them. That's $3.14 for 10-inch brick oven-fired pizzas. And you've got kids sitting around. You don't know what to do with them. You're not going to go to some big crowded place, but you can head out there and grab some great food, support a local business through a tough time, and at the same time get a huge value. Holy cow. Their food is fantastic. Their management's great. Their staff is good. I'm not just saying that because they're a sponsor. I really like these people, and I support the restaurant industry across the board. Such hard work, and I do not want to see them suffer. This is a chance for you to get a great value and support somebody who is living through this nightmare that is this crisis. So that's Your Pie. They're out at 340 Calhoun Station Parkway out in Gluckstadt near Germantown High School, which, of course, is not attending classes now. But you can get out there. The traffic's light. You can get the kids out of the house. Do something a little fun. Take a little bit of the pressure off and get some great food at a great value. That's Your Pie on Gluckstadt. If you can't make it out there, you can get them. Download the Waiter app and look for Your Pie, and they will have food delivered to you. I do not believe you're not going to get the Pie Day price when you get it delivered. That's something you got to be there for. But it is worth the trip. You'll be glad you did it. I'll be right back. Stay with me.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, phone number 601-879-0002. Do you think this is a V-shaped recovery coming? I mean, someone can make the case. I mean, maybe you can convince me. I'd love to think that that's the case. Do you think it's a V-shaped recovery back to an unparalleled level of prosperity just in a few months, like Steven Mnuchin says? Or do you think this is real? I'm talking about a lot of these bailout provisions today to tell you what the consequences of them are. I said beginning of the hour, they've got this no evictions, no foreclosures. Look, as a human being, that sounds fantastic. And I encourage any business who may be able to foreclose or kick somebody out and you see somebody's hurting, then don't do it. You know, if you're a responsible landlord and you've been saving your money and you've got a decent tenant that treats you well and everything's great and you see them fall on hard times, you've always got the ability to say, hey, look, I know this is tough. Well, we're gonna give you some more time on this. Just keep me posted. You know, there's all kinds of human-to-human interaction, but now we just wait for the federal government to guide us on everything. Must obey the rules. Well, I think I might not kick you out of this place, but I'm waiting for Steven Mnuchin, the former Goldman Sachs banker who foreclosed on thousands of people back in the 2008 crisis. I'm waiting for him to tell me whether or not I should kick you out. I know I'm a human and you're a human, but I'm waiting for the Treasury Secretary to give me guidance on how I treat you. This is the abdication of any level of community solution to problems we've found ourselves in. And another massively abused thing, and this was going on before coronavirus, you know, they passed this paid family leave at the federal level, which means for all you taxpayers out there, you just essentially you're going to have to pay for 30% more employees at the federal level. Because each one of those employees, or I guess 25%, excuse me, I don't want to exaggerate here. I try very hard to be as accurate as I can. You're going to have to increase the federal workforce by 25% because each one of them gets to take a quarter of the year off paid. And they've been trying to focus this into the private markets, too, into the business market. It's funny. Have you seen the legislation on paid family leave? Guess who it applies to? Any business with less than 500 employees. Isn't that funny? Is that not interesting that the mega corporations would not have to abide by the paid family leave thing? Does anybody find that interesting? Or is it just me? Almost feels like they got a carve out because they donate so much money to the politicians so that they don't have to take on the onerous responsibility. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine. I sold my janitorial company to him. And we were talking about paid family leave. And, you know, there's talk where the government's going to pay for this. I mean, I don't know where the hell they're going to get that money. Oh, they're going to print it, destroy the dollar. I mean, I can't warn you strongly enough about the consequences of the actions they're thinking about taking right now. But anyway, you know, and he said, well, you know, maybe the federal government pays for it. I said, yeah, but what are you going to do? So, you know, you got somebody cleaning a building. I know the model there. I helped design it. I was one of the founders of the company along with him. He was my partner, great partner. We did great. So he's going to have, one of them says, oh, I got a sick mom. I'm going to have to take 3 months off. So he's got to pay that employee. Let's just say the government defers the cost. I don't know where the hell they get the money, but, you know, it's the government. We've all got our hands out. Not that he's got his hand out. It's just the government says, oh, we can take care of everything. We've never saved a nickel for a rainy day. And yes, we've got about $150 trillion in unfunded liabilities, but we can just keep printing. Well, yeah, we're going to take care of this and this and this and this. Anyway, so he's got to go out and hire somebody to cover the 3 months that this other person has taken off. What happens at the end of that 3 months? And your employee says, okay, well, my family leave's over. I'm ready to come back. Thanks for the checks for doing nothing for 3 months. Wait, you got to fire that person that was been working for you for 3 months? What if they're good? They did a good job. They just get canned. It's just, there's never ending. And this is a, you know, this is a policy by Ivanka Trump, which a lot of Republicans want to see be our next president. For some reason, have you seen pictures of Ivanka Trump, her social life prior to Donald Trump being presidency? You might want to check that out before you chomp at the bit to make her president. She's doing kind of the classic rich person cocktail party pose where she's kind of got her head kicked back in laughter with the Clintons, with Chuck Schumer. You know, she's a Democrat, right? I mean, I'm just asking. It just seems weird to me, but everybody seems to want a liberal billionaire Democrat from New York to run the country next. It's beyond me. But anyway, she's got her paid family leave into the federal system. They're trying to get it into the private sector. It's going to just decimate businesses. Got a caller on the line. Hey, caller, are you with me?
I am, Mike.
Hey, Robert, how you doing?
Ivanka's not a Democrat. She's now a Trump Republican. She's proud of that now.
Yeah, that was like 2 weeks ago she decided to change.
She decided to be a Trump Republican.
This goes back to a podcast I did, I think, in 2009, where I said, what won't Americans put up with? But anyway, go ahead.
Back to the family leave on the small business owner. Most small businesses, especially the restaurants, but a lot of these small businesses, they're already, you know, running. They're bleeding cash. They're always in a cash crunch. It's just the way it is. That's the business that they operate. They don't have a 6 month rainy days fund,
right? You know, right.
They're cash flowing everything every week when they make payroll and all of that. They're going to have to pay. They're wanting them to pay employees, and where they get the money back is they're issuing tax credits.
Ah.
They're not going to give you the money. It's in form of tax credits. So, you know, so next year when you or the next quarter or next whenever that you file your taxes, you get some credits. But until then, you got to lay the money out up front.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. So we'll see. But, Robert, interest rates are so low, you can go out and get a loan.
They are now, aren't they? If you can get a zero, okay, I'll play with your money. Then
No.
Negative interest. To where you can make money when you borrow money.
No. The small business owner can't get that zero loan. That's just for the mega corporations who, if they have over 500 employees, they don't have to participate in the paid employee paid time off.
You know, and
the small business owner is going to pay 6 or 7%. And the funny thing is, when you're a small business owner, you're some kind of a risk. So they add a couple of points of interest onto that, because a little risky for some of these small business owners. Banking is one of those things where they love to give you money if you don't need it. If you need it, look at you askew, and they got to jack up the interest.
They got the little side eye going at you when you need it.
Oh, wait, you need this money? Well, that doesn't sound good.
What's wrong with you? You don't know how to run a business then, really, do you?
Paid family leave is going to be the most abused. So far, it's been Social Security disability has been a massively abused thing. Now, food stamps and stuff are too. But Social Security disability, the dollars in waste, fraud, and abuse in the Social Security disability program has been huge. It will be eclipsed, dwarfed by the paid 3 months off from employees. Can you even, only the people who truly love their job. What's the percentage of people who love the work they do? 4%? Maybe.
Probably.
Let's say 10% of people, 90% of people are going to go, 3 months paid off? I don't feel so good. See ya.
You know, one of the biggest scams, too, is, and of course, the president now is pushing a quote-unquote payroll tax. People don't even realize that's payroll tax is Social Security, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah,
right. He's saying quit paying into the Social Security fund. They literally labeled it a payroll tax so they could raid it. And nobody would realize they were raiding Social Security.
And you know
payroll
what?
Payroll tax is Social Security and Medicaid, Medicare.
And there's a couple of things about payroll tax people never understand. Number one, you pay it. Because the employer pays half, it's around 7.5%, and you pay 7.5%. If the employer didn't have to pay that, then you would probably be able to earn more. They would have more money. If they didn't have to pay that for the last 25 years, maybe they'd all have an emergency fund to make it through the coronavirus thing. I mean, I could go on and on with this. And also on top of that, it is a tax. It is a penalty on an employer for hiring somebody. This is how crazy our system is. We talk about how we always want to create jobs, and Republicans talk about unleashing the private sector, yet they essentially fine them 7.5% of someone's salary every time you hire somebody. It is a tax and essentially a penalty on providing a job.
You know, the other thing, too, on that is if you're self-employed, let's say you've got a lawn service, and it's just you, not employees, you pay all 15%. You pay it all.
And that's before your federal taxes, your state taxes, your sales taxes, your privilege taxes, your business license taxes, your car taxes, your inventory taxes. I could go on and on and on. And so this is the thing that's driving me nuts today that I want people to see. They steal. They confiscate 30 to probably 50% of this is average people. I'm not talking about the super wealthy. I'm talking about your middle class people. They steal 30 to 50% of your money through taxes, fines, fees, user fees, all these other things. And then when times are tough and because they've taken this money from you for years and you have nothing set aside because you can't, then they come to you like the savior. And we have to bend on one knee and pat them on the back and clap for them when they come in the Rotary Club because they all sent us a measly little $1,000. I mean, it is...
I saw Mitt Romney's plan for send all adults $1,000
per month right till now. This is over.
That's what he wants to do.
Right. That's the Andrew Yang plan.
$1,000.
Yeah. That was Andrew Yang's basic income for people. Right. And look, I will take the check. I'm sure you will too. I mean,
you're darn right. I've paid in enough.
Yeah. I'm not pure in this. I'm not going to send it back. I don't act like I couldn't use an extra $1,000. It's just I know it's coming. I'm essentially borrowing it from my children. I mean, that's essentially what it is. All these things are just loans from toddlers in this country that are going to be forced into a system to pay this back at some point or suffer the consequences of the bankruptcy that we leave them.
Yep.
Oh, man. Robert, you didn't help my blood pressure. It really is. Well, it's fun to laugh a little bit. All right. Thanks, Robert. Appreciate the call.
Bye.
All right. Quick break. I'll be right back. Finish up with this madness. Absolute madness. I just want you to see what's coming. It's coming. It's coming. They're doing it to us right now. They are doing it to us right now. Like I say, they need to start leaving these checks on our nightstand because what they're doing to us is just like the oldest profession in the world. All night
with the king. Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
All right, final segment here. I got a great business idea for you. Here's the language of, I believe this is the House bill, talking about paid family leave and sick leave. Ensures employers with fewer than 500 employees and government employers offer 2 weeks. Again, I'm going to stress that. I kind of glossed over this. Ensures that employers with fewer than 500 employees. So all you, the people that work for the big corporate types, no paid leave for you because the corporations that donate the most money to these Congress critters writing this stuff up, they don't want to bear the brunt of this, the cost of this thing. Ensures employers with fewer than 500 employees and government employers offer 2 weeks of paid sick leave through 2020. Requires those same employers to provide up to 3 months of paid family and medical leave for people forced to quarantine due to the virus or care for family because of the outbreak. So here's what you do. If you're young and healthy, I don't want to put anybody in danger here. This is a moneymaker, but I don't want anybody to risk their lives to do it. You don't have to risk your lives. Uncle Sam's going to send you some checks. You go out, you get that coronavirus. And then you just set up shop. You just run a little ad, I don't know, on Craigslist or social media. You know, I don't do social media. There's a way to reach the masses now. You just say, hey, want three months paid off? Swing by the house. We'll have a cup of coffee. I'll give you the coronavirus. Call your employer. Tell them you got the virus. Boom, bing, bang, boom. And the whole family gets it off. You just take this stuff home. And everybody that's in the house, bring the cousins over. Infect them. They get 3 months paid off. Look, I know I sound heartless. I am all for communities coming together and human beings helping other human beings. Where are the churches, the charities? This is what they're for. Can you imagine? You know the generosity of the American people, right? Every time there's a tragedy, a I don't care if it's a famine halfway across the world or a hurricane here. Americans reach deep in their pockets. Even when they don't have money, they find a little bit of money to send when there's a tragedy here. Can you imagine if the federal government wasn't ripping us off for 30% of our income, the amount of how the coffers of charities would be full, how friends would be helping friends, neighbors would be helping neighbors? Can you even imagine if we're charitable after they rip us off for 30% of everything we earn? Can you imagine how charitable we would be if we got to keep the money that we earn? Not to mention that not as many people would actually need charity because they would have kept the 30% of their money that the government's been ripping them off for. And let me say this too real quick for anybody that's new listening to the show who's going, well, they can't operate without any taxes. What are you talking about? You can't get rid of individual income taxes. The government collects around $2 trillion a year just in corporate taxes, which I believe are constitutional, and fines and fees and user fees and tariffs and all kinds of other stuff. They collect $2 trillion. That was enough to run the federal government with back in 2007. It should be enough today. What have you gotten for the increase in the size of government between 2007 and now? Do you feel the government serves your needs better? No, it's wasted growth. And I've been very disappointed to see this behemoth growing even larger under Donald Trump. I thought a businessman would understand you kind of need to right size a business that is failing as bad as our federal government and racking up the kind of bankrupting debt it is. But he has not. He has made the government bigger. Can you imagine the way we could take care of each other by ourselves if each person didn't have this theft taken out of they're taking money out of your check every week. Can you imagine how resilient we would be if people had money in savings, if people had paid for houses so when their income is interrupted, at least they're not worried about making the mortgage payment because they had 30% more for the last 25 years, so they paid their damn house off. You don't care about interest rates on your house mortgage when you can afford to actually put down a big down payment and pay your house off because you actually control your own income. You get to keep the fruits of your labor. Do you see how this works? We give them all this money and then we are in times of need forced to beg them for a little bit and applaud them for their great plans. Thank you, Tom Cotton. Thank you, Mitt Romney. It was your money to the government doesn't create anything. Tom Cotton didn't put money into the pot to send it out to you. No, they had to steal it from you first to give it back to you later, and they want credit for that, and most Americans will give it to them. You Democrats on the left are the worst about that. You want them to raise taxes. You want them to take money out of your communities. And the funniest thing, too, is all this state aid that's going around. They take all this money from the states and from all the citizens of all the states, and then they do block grants to send it back to the states after it's filtered through 12 agencies in Washington, D.C. They actually send it back to us when we declare a state of emergency. Oh, you got an emergency? We'll give you your cash back. We might not have an emergency if you hadn't taken our cash in the first place, and we could have set it aside in a rainy day fund to handle it. Am I making this point well? I don't even really know. I don't even really know if the American people have got such Stockholm syndrome that you just can't even see what real freedom is. And the way that this government has intruded on you, and now in a time of need, you're dependent on them because you gave them all the power. Both parties, you're all guilty. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.